Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions, the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointdaily.com, and somewhere else. You know what? I the way I said it, it was like I left room for a third.
But
I didn't have a third.
It's all right.
I blew that one. Sorry.
iTunes.
And iTunes. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College. And we, as always, are your...
Blown leads. I don't know what that means. Blown lead-ins.
The answer, my friend, is blowing leads in the wind. Lead-ins. Okay, listen, you know what? Here we are. We're here to talk about comic books. As always, to my left, we have young Shecky Feldstein doing the producer thing extraordinaire, although I'm not really too sure what he does.
Selecting the greatest hits, like Holiday Road.
Yes.
What was that, by the way?
That was Holiday Road from the National Lampoon's Vacation.
Okay,
Chevy
Chase films.
Yeah. With the Chevy.
That almost put me to sleep, that one.
You know what? There's something wrong. If that song is putting you to sleep... There's something wrong. It ain't right.
What was the name of the hot girl that was in that movie? Was it?
Yeah, she was a supermodel. Or she was
Tracy
Lord.
No. Christy Brinkley.
Like it was a model.
It was
a high-end model. She had,
yeah.
You know what?
Close.
She had stage fright. She couldn't go out. She had to do about 30 takes of her first scene ever.
Really?
And then after that, they said, okay, we'll take that as the best one. You know, Harold Ramis did that film, right?
Yeah.
And she said, you know what? No. Coming out. No, we're doing it again. Do it now. Do it. And then she was fine for every scene after that. Yeah, but she had terrible – she thought that acting would be the same as posing in swimsuits like that. And
But, you know, she
– poser.
She was one of those models who was actually found, right? Like she didn't grow up and decide that she wanted to be a model. She was putting on a dress or something, and some famous model person saw her and said, oh, I want to have you come and be with
my studio.
She was
putting on a dress.
Hey, take that off. Don't put it on.
Exactly.
No, she was putting on a dress in the dressing room one day when the guy who was creeping on her happened to be a producer at the time.
Hey, however you need to find them.
Yeah.
That's right.
Listen, we are here. We're not here to talk about models.
We are here to talk about
comic books. Comic books and comic industry. And
I'm disappointed somehow.
Okay, listen. We are here to talk about comic culture and everything that's happening in comics. We are here to champion the local comic book shop, and we are here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio.
Yes, we are.
Walt.
Yes.
Free comic book. No, we're not talking about Free Comic Book Day. We're talking about new comics this week.
New comics this week.
Smarty.
Are new comics free this week, Chris?
They were last week.
Oh,
we need to talk about new this week. Do we have a sponsor?
Absolutely. New this week brought to you by Amazing Spider-Man 2, the sequel of the reboot of the fan-fave character. Where does it end?
Great point. We'll get into that later.
Yeah. There'll probably be about 15 more reboots before the thing dies out, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm absolutely sure of that. Listen, we need to talk about new comics, and I'm holding in my hand. Looks a little retro. I'm going to do a reverse of what I normally do. I usually go Marvel, DC, then the alternate one.
Ah.
I'm going to talk about the alternate one first.
Okay.
So this is Burn the Orphanage, number 1 of 5, Reign of Terror by Sina Grace and Daniel Friedman.
Burn the Orphanage.
I don't really
what is good in life.
What is good in life?
Crush your enemies. Burn the Orphanage.
and the limitation of the
kids.
Listen, I'm not all that interested, believe it or not, in the actual Burn the Orphanage story.
No.
What I'm actually interested in is there's a backup story.
Oh.
If you reverse the comic, if you flip it over.
Oh, it's one of those flip ones.
Flip book.
Yeah.
There's a story here by a guy named Tyler Shainline and Andy Suriano.
Ah.
And it's called Liberty Justice. And it's like this psychedelic looking 1969 psychedelic thing going on with weird colors and and shapes and things going on. It looks awesome.
Really?
It's got
Do you ever have a look-see?
Do you ever see those do you remember those blacklight posters where you'd have like you have like the black light and it would shine on the poster and everything would be glowing.
Yes.
That's what that comic looks like.
Oh, this is wonderful. I'm looking at it here. Yeah, it's got that whole whole funky art scene from I'd say early 70s more than late 60s.
Yeah?
But yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah,
Liberty Justice.
I like it a lot.
From Image Comics.
Well, the actual comic is Burn the Orphanage.
I'm sorry.
But Liberty Justice is the backup story.
Right. But you know, it's like a record. You know, you get that hit, and then
the
B-side.
Record. Yes, exactly.
And then the B-side is always, the superior B-side is always the one that lasts.
That's right, that's right.
All
right,
so check that out at your local comic book shop today.
All right. second on the hit parade, speaking of music records.
They should do B-sides for all comics.
They
now.
Should.
I see that flip thing
I
there
like that.
Got me to thinking there should be all Marvel, DC should just flip.
You know what, why not have
flip books?
Why not have like a six-page quick story on
at
every single book?
And then
That's right. Flip it. Flip it.
Flip it.
They can't even call it flip.
Crack that whip.
Flip it.
Flip it good.
Flip it good. They can have flip it month. You know, they can have a whole month where every book has a six-page storyline in the back.
Yeah. Flipping the void.
Hey, no flipping the void,
don't
anybody.
Flip the void.
All right, listen, we gotta keep going here. We gotta talk about this is DC's new 52, DC Comics, The Future's End. And this is
anywhere in there, does it say DC?
You know, why you gotta be like that?
Sorry.
You know, I'm trying to promote the company, trying to talk about comics, and you're just marshing my mellow, man.
Sorry.
Hey, Mellows. Do you think we're gonna proceed with this today? We're gonna get there.
Producer thinks he knows something.
Apparently, the producer's rushing us along. Great.
Apparently, we're
apparently our banter.
Not enough time going on. All right, listen.
Only got another hour and a half. How long is this thing anyway?
Not that long.
It just seems like it's an hour and a half for our local listeners. Listen, I want to talk about this is DC's New 52 Future's End.
Oh, and yeah. Hey, that was the free comic book day.
It
DC,
was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Book. Yeah.
It was big, wasn't it? It was very popular, wasn't it?
Not sure. Hope so.
You know what?
Hope so.
I might as well ask Chris, who didn't even show up for all I know.
You know what? I wanted to show up. I actually even drove by. I couldn't get in the parking lot.
Nice.
So you know what? That's how popular it is. We'll get into that more later on.
Seems like we keep getting into it, but not getting into
it. You know what? Why don't you just shut your pie hole for a minute?
Yeah, you're right. We need to proceed.
Keep on talking.
Let's go.
Listen, Future's End. This is by Brian Azzarello, Keith Giffen, Dan Juergens, and Patrick Zirker. It's a futuristic story of the characters that are currently in the DC universe and what's happening to them 5 years from now.
Mm.
Now, I have a problem with this.
Chris.
Walt, I have a problem with this.
Spill. Come on. Tell me. Tell me all your problems.
So this is the – if you open up the book, this is no spoiler. It happens on the first page.
Yeah.
Okay.
No spoiler. But, if you don't want to know what happens on the first page
– Well, then listen to your
– Yeah. Turn on to Fan 590 or
there
something.
There you go. The first page has the Batman Beyond Batman in it, okay? So it's a different – it's not the current Batman. And Alfred is like a computer kind of thing. It's a whole different thing. But this is only 5 years from now, it's saying. Like, so are we saying that the current Batman that we have right now is going to be gone 5 years from now?
That's not right.
I don't get that.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
There is some great things that happen in this book. It's actually a good book. I enjoyed reading it. There is a huge I don't want to give it away, but there's a big death scene at the end of the book of a long time DC character. It's a great read. I just didn't like the fact that it was only 5 years from now. It actually has Grifter in it, which I thought was kind of weird. Grifter is a character who was from the Jim Lee Wildcats Image universe, and it was
they actually gave Grifter a title at the New 52 launch.
That's right, and then it died a very
quick
death. Yeah. I think all the first ones lasted six issues and then it died. But anyways, so Grifter was in it. It's actually got a little bit of violence in it. I don't mind that at all, but you know, interesting book. I just don't like the fact that it's only 5 years from now.
Fair enough, Chris. Biting critique of Future's End.
I don't like it, but it happens sometimes.
Right. That of course is from DC Comics. It's available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay. More importantly, I saved the best for last.
Best for last.
This is Marvel Comics Original Sin #1 of 8.
Chris, Original Sin.
This is by Jason Aaron, Mike Diodato and Frank Martin. Let's just back things up a bit here.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Now, hold on a second here. So, Walt, you're a longtime fan of Marvel Comics, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, there's a character called The Watcher.
Yes, right? There is.
Appeared in what? Fantastic Four 48?
Number 13.
13, okay. Way off.
Close.
Way off. 13. Okay, so The Watcher, for those of you not...
He's got a cousin, The Voyeur.
That's a completely different comic.
Oh, right, yeah. Good
girl.
Just as good. Though.
Just as good. Yeah, just as good. Actually, they did do something like that in... did you ever read the Pro comic?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yeah,
he
yeah.
was in the Pro.
Okay.
It was about a superhero that was a prostitute.
Like
but
the
anyways,
Watch. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, listen. Marvel Comics, original sin number one, The Watcher. So The Watcher, for those who aren't aware in the listening audience,
he likes
The Watcher
to watch.
Is a... His duty is to watch.
His duty is
he
to watch.
Is
he doesn't like it so much.
Basically, he watches everything that happens on the Earth.
Right.
And he oversees everything, all the things. He can never interfere. He
right.
can never intervene in right. anything. His sole duty is to watch. His Uatu is his name.
Yes.
U-A-T-U. Uatu the Watcher. So in this comic, even if I just read, so it says, he is the Watcher, he has seen it all. For untold eons, he has watched us from on high. And so his duty is to bear witness.
Uh-huh.
So basically, he stands
on Can I get a witness?
He stands on the moon and he watches everything. However,
from the moon?
From the moon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, from the moon. Now, this is not going to spoil this because this is actually on the cover of the comic.
Right.
Somebody.
So if you haven't seen the cover of the comic and you want to be surprised.
Spoiler alert.
It is a spoiler
store.
Alert.
It's
however,
spoiler alert.
The Watcher gets shot.
No.
Who shot the Watcher? Now, the Watcher is like this great big cosmic entity, so
yeah.
it's going to be a big whodunit kind of thing. And it's a very interesting read. I really
wow.
enjoyed reading it. I thought it was
Shades
excellent.
Of Dallas.
Shades of Dallas, exactly. Who shot JR?
Who shot the Watcher?
Who shot the Watcher?
Hey. Well, that's exciting. All right.
I like the way you said that.
Original Sin.
Oh, that's exciting.
Original Sin. No, the reason I say that remember we talked about it before, one of these kind of Original Sin, it's a one of eight.
Yes.
And... we talked about whether when Marvel does this other these kind of big things, these kind of cool storylines, whether they'll kind of aim all their characters at their own Disney stable of movie characters.
Right.
And it's good to see Spider-Man on the cover.
You know what?
But they're not going that way, right?
Actually, you know what? In exactly to what you're saying, this particular comic has everybody in it. So it's not just about the Spider-Man characters or the X-Men characters mm-hmm. or the Avengers type characters. This has Wolverine and Black Widow and Iron Man and Spider-Man and Fantastic Four.
Right.
Like, it's got everybody in it. So they're bringing it all home again, right?
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
All right. Original Sin, number
take
one.
Take it back.
Of eight.
Take it back.
Yeah. Where was I? Original Sin, number one of eight, is hitting your local comic book shop today. So go in and check that out. And, of course, Chris mentioned what? This is the two, three?
Three comics.
Comics that are new this week.
Out of at least 1,000
that
have
come out. Out of 1,000 that are
today.
Hitting the
stands right,
today.
Yes.
So you owe it to yourself to hit your local comic book shop today
right.
and check things out.
Shecky, what have you got going for us?
We got some music going for
nice.
Us.
Nice. So let's hear it.
All right.
What's going on?
Oh, something Walt's not going to like.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Do what you like. Is it?
listen, I'm as big a Bon Jovi fan as anybody. But I
is that who that was?
I think so.
Oh,
I just don't see how it relates to comics.
I know it's Bob Seger.
Okay, so for everyone out there, including these two Clouseaus in front of me. So, Holiday Road, the first one to our intro, which is a great upbeat little ditty.
Yeah.
National Lampoon's Vacation,
this
right?
One put me to sleep.
This one, I'm All Right from Caddyshack. It's a theme from Caddyshack, right? By it's Kenny Loggins, by the way.
Kenny Loggins. Yeah.
I can't name another song he's done from any other film.
Footloose.
Yeah. They're both, you know what? I was in a little bit of a mood.
It sounds like I'm All Right, doesn't it? Footloose, I'm All Right.
I was in a little bit of a mood the other day for the whole Harold Ramis passing and started revisiting some of his classic films.
Good for you.
That he was
good
part of. And so,
we have
I thought I'd pay a little homage by giving him two songs. You know?
Oh,
but don't worry, Walt. Two's enough.
Does it end at two?
I hope we're done.
Well, because you're already writing death threats while the music's playing.
Because you know what we've not heard yet? You know? Out of two songs already.
I'm getting antsy for Crancy.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. It's nice.
You guessed the third one, but I'm going to remove it. I'm going to pull the Crancy just for you.
All right. Listen.
Do that in your own time.
All right.
Listen, where are we now?
Yeah, so we're going into industry news right now.
Go ahead, Shecky.
Brought to you by Gotham, the big Batman-themed show to come without the good characters, just like S.H.I.E.L.D.
You know what? I did see the trailer for the new Gotham show.
Wait a minute. Explain to me the new Gotham
show. Beep, 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 beep. Back it up a bit here. So,
let me guess.
Yes, go ahead.
Like S.H.I.E.L.D., just from what the Shekster said. So the S.H.I.E.L.D. has a TV show.
Yeah.
Now Gotham's going to have a TV show?
Kind of. Okay. Kind of. So I think it's Fox that is putting out the new Gotham show. I think it's Fox.
Foxy.
I could be wrong on that.
It might be. I think Batman's a Warner Brothers.
It's Warner Bros.
But
what's the TV department? Anyways, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. Okay.
There's a new TV show based on Gotham coming out. And... Mm-hmm. Sigh, once again, we're going to see the origin of Batman as a little child, but it's meant to be...
Yeah, and it's like a young Commissioner Gordon, like while he's like a lieutenant still. Or so it's going back... The time is going back, so it's a lot of before the things happen. So apparently what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of...
Is it late 30s,
you're going to see, No, not that far back. No. I don't think
kinda.
So.
It's,
well, I don't know what timeline Batman is in.
Meant to be in the early years of... So Bruce Wayne's like when his parents got shot, that's when this whole series is
and
taking
so
place.
You see the origins or like the upbringings of a lot of like villains. I think they're focusing more on like villains and how they get their way
it's
into,
like Little Archie.
You know,
I don't know how that...
Little... Here, Joker, here's your lunch.
Well...
Thanks,
so,
Mom!
Interesting you should say that, because it seems like all the characters that they're dealing with... they showcase, before they were Poison Ivy, before they were Penguin, before they were Riddler, and they kind of show them all, but they're all much older than Bruce Wayne is, and I always figured that they're all kind of around the same age.
Yeah. Right.
So it's kind of weird that they're not.
Except for, the Penguin, who, if played by Danny DeVito, always seems like a 100-year-old troll.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But...
And Burgess Meredith.
Gordon, Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
He's like a young lieutenant kind of thing. Yeah. And it looks like, I think it's supposed to be Harvey Bullock. He's got the guy with the beard. And there's a trailer with him in it.
You know, I didn't actually look that much into the show. I mean, I'm probably not going to watch it. I'm going to throw that out there.
It looks interesting, but I think they're trying to take the movies that they've created around the Batman phenomenon. And now putting it into TV,
and they're following Marvel's footsteps, really, because Marvel has the path to success.
Okay, all right, stop for a second. Batman does have a lot of fans, and remember, you need a bridge of some sort. You need to satisfy Batman fandom between the 3 years of movies, right? So comics is one way of doing it.
Yeah.
Video games is another way of doing it. Perhaps a TV show.
No, absolutely.
And
I think that if anything, DC has been winning that battle over Marvel for the past 10 years when they had Smallville and then they came out with Arrow.
Absolutely.
And you know what? They've been doing better for television continuity of keeping their characters alive than Marvel has, for sure.
I've said that for a long time, is that DC is very in tune with what makes for good TV stories, but Marvel seems to be knocking it out of the park for movie stories, right?
Okay, good. So hold on.
Yeah.
So will this kind of be along the quality tempo aesthetic lines of a Smallville or an Arrow or that kind of stuff.
It looks like an Arrow kind of thing, a little grittier, darker kind of kind of deal. It actually, I mean, we've only seen a trailer, so who knows from the trailer? But it looks like it's meant to be like the recent Batman movies,
right?
It's got that feel to it. Whether or not it's going to turn out that way, who knows?
Okay,
wouldn't you agree, Shecky?
I would. Yeah. I mean, from the trailers, the first impression is that it will look like it's pretty high quality.
All
right. Right. All right. Let's talk about industry news. Did we have a trailer? Oh, yeah. That was that's okay. Yeah.
Segment. Yeah. The
Free Comic Book Day, Walt. What's going on with Free Comic Book Day? How did your store do? How did all the stores in North America do? What's going on with that?
You know what? I did a little bit of research there on the Monday. I emailed a bunch of people that have shops across Canada.
Yep, yep.
I wanted to gauge their response, and everybody said they knocked it out of the park.
Nice.
Everybody said, everybody that I talked to said it was their best one yet.
Awesome. Oh, really? That's good to know.
And just to name a few, we had Rob and Jen out in Guelph.
Guelph, yeah.
At the Dragon. They had their best one ever.
Nice.
Bram over in London at Heroes.
Yeah, yeah.
He had the best one ever. J.O. Nice. At Edmonton, he had the best one ever. Nice. Everybody was saying they had an unbelievable
Free
Comic Book Day.
And
when I guess what it's saying is that the whole pop culture, fandom, geek culture, comic book culture is continuing to grow.
Right.
And the problem, you and I discussed it a little bit when you asked me how was Free Comic Book Day before the show, Chris.
Yep.
The problem I think we're running into right now as comic book shops, because this show does champion the local comic
book
shop here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. The problem shops have is they're all local comic book shops, Chris.
Right.
They're all designed. They have, I don't know, I'm just gonna estimate on average from 1,000 to 2,200 square feet or so.
Yep,
you know,
that's about right.
Local comic book shops. And there's ones that are way bigger. There's some that are tiny little things, right?
Right.
But thing is, they're not designed to take in as many people as an event like Free Comic Book Day bring to their doors right now. And that's the big issue now.
Yeah.
We've hit a wall. Most of the comic shops I talk to are saying, we're maxed out. We have to come up with creative ways to make that day bring in even more people. Because you don't want to start excluding
But how is that going to happen? So
I don't know.
Okay, so let's just back it up for a second. Beep, 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 beep. So, okay, so you're confined to, let's say, the average comic book store has a 2,000 square foot store, if that even.
That's probably big, but let's just use 2,000.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, your store is, I don't know how many square feet it has, but it's probably a little bit bigger than that. But, you know, already your store was packed with people, lineups out the door kind of thing for Free Comic Book Day.
Right.
How does a store like yours get any bigger? Well, maybe do we need to do something like, you know, maybe make it like a municipal thing? Like maybe get all the comic book stores together in the city and have a great big comic book day event at some sort of convention center, like renting out a hall and have
it into a con, though.
My mind was just going there of treat it like a stag and doe. You know, you go to like the closest Legion or
hall. Here's the problem. The Free Comic Book Day's original idea, and there's nothing wrong with ideas morphing. I agree with you. I'm open-minded enough for that. But the original idea for Free Comic Book Day was to showcase the local comic book shop, to have an open house for your local comic book shop to clean up, to dust, to clean the windows, to merchandise, buy new stuff.
It's a great point. Because you know what?
And so you don't want to take it away from your place of business because that's the place where people are going to come. They're going to go, wow, that local comic book shop was such a cool place to go to. I'm going to take my kids there, or if you're a young, trendy type guy, going to go back there and pick up those things that I really enjoyed seeing.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Because you know what? For a long time, comic book stores were a scary place to visit for someone that wasn't involved in the culture, right? Because they were generally a dark and dingy and scary place that was mainly attended by weird-looking males kind of thing. Like, so it was a scary place for families.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Free Comic Book Day kind of helped to lift that away, that image away from that.
Rob Haynes at the Dragon, he had some great insights, and he's a very smart man. But he You know, he kind of drew an analogy to a con. You know, the reason why cons are successful yep. is the fan experience.
Right.
So, you know, he was drawing it, you know, if you want to have a successful Free Comic Book Day, don't just have free comics on a table, you know?
Right.
Make it a fan experience. Make it customers coming up, well, enjoying what we did this year. We encouraged cosplay, costume yep, play.
Yep, which is awesome.
And there were tons and tons of people in costume.
You even had a professional cosplayer
there.
We had
a few.
Yeah,
we had a few.
That's awesome. So hold on for our listening audience, because not everybody that listens to us, believe it or not, actually knows about comics. Mm-hmm. So
do people even listen to us?
Well, I think there's five.
Okay, but we're growing.
One or two of them don't really know about cosplay. So cosplay is when people dress up in costume and they mm-hmm. go to a convention or a store or whatever.
Yeah.
It's costume mm-hmm. play, right? So,
but you see, there's the culture right there, and I have a great example. There was a beautiful young lady. She was dressed up as Psylocke, and she had her own booth. I talked about her in an old show. She had her own booth
right.
at one of the shows. Like, she's a famous cosplayer.
Yeah,
famous
yeah.
enough to get her own table
nice.
And get autographs.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
she was nice enough to come to our event
yeah.
for the day
yeah, yeah.
with a few other of her friends, and they did great. But the thing though is, I noticed there's an education, there's a learning curve with local families, patrons of comic shops, because
right.
they didn't know what to do. They
right.
didn't know how to take her.
Oh,
they,
okay, right,
they,
right.
You know, they weren't sure whether they should approach her. You know, at a con,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, let me get my picture. You know, that's all day.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
have
yeah.
no qualms, no reservations
yeah.
about approaching cosplayers. It was interesting to see the dynamic at the local comic book shop
yes,
because
yes.
80% of the people were kind of looking, go, wow, that's cool, but should I approach her? Am I allowed
but,
to approach her?
But that's
her?
Probably like 80% of the people that are at the store have never been to a con.
Exactly.
Right? So they're
exactly.
not too sure what to
right.
do.
Right.
There's a professional person walking around.
Yeah, and I talked to her, and she
and,
goes...
And you don't know what,
yeah.
what to do about it. I mean,
and she
yeah.
goes, you know, and I
yeah.
told her, I go, look, just encourage
yeah.
people to take pictures and stuff, and she had a great time.
Good,
so
good,
things like, I don't know, I'm recommending, and we're looking at our Free Comic Book Day, as I'm sure all shops across North America are,
mm-hmm.
in terms of how to improve the gate, but... Some of us that are lucky enough to maybe have parking lots.
Right.
So we're
right.
looking at maybe getting tents, larger
right,
tents
right.
if you had a small tent, taking some of the non-comic book activity
yep, yep.
out. So if you have artists,
yes.
if you have cosplayers, face painters, all that kind of stuff,
yep.
you might want to take them outside. It's
maybe
so,
even food.
Yeah.
Food. A lunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so busy inside.
Yeah.
And I recommend
Which,
everybody, you know, the good news is
yep.
– now, would they have the portable technology in terms of you can make makeshift tills
yes, yes,
for
yes.
credit cards and
yeah,
stuff
yeah,
just
yeah.
On your iPad or
yeah,
whatever
yeah,
the heck
yeah,
it is
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So turn that one till into three or turn the two tills into five
yeah.
that day, and you're going to get people in and out. The less they are in line,
yeah.
the more time they'll have to mill about and enjoy the experience of Free Comic Book
Day. You know what's funny, and we won't talk about this too much longer, but it's funny that you should say take the non-comic stuff out of the store when you're trying to bring the idea behind Free Comic Book Day was to bring people into the store.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying let's bring the stuff out because that's how big it's gotten, right?
Right.
It's interesting
right.
that it's gotten
yeah.
to that point.
Well,
really, you have to spill out into the parking lot and
yeah.
make
to.
That your secondary storefront
yeah, yeah,
because
absolutely.
You need the space.
But
yeah.
you need the books mm-hmm. in the store and you need them preferably strategically placed near the back of the store
right.
where people are walking through your store.
And they get a
right.
good glimpse of everything that
your,
your
store.
Shop has,
yeah.
you know, the toys,
yeah.
the everything. Yeah.
yeah. And to say, hey, comic book stores aren't scary.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy working behind a counter, maybe.
Well, they might be, or the
yeah.
owner, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and realistically, I mean, there probably would have been a lot more photo ops with Psylocke if you didn't spend the entire day with your arm around her, glaring at everyone who walked
it's
by her.
Great point.
I didn't
yeah.
think anybody
great.
Would notice.
Listen, we got to move on here. Walt, you know, you like to, submit your stories. They're little stories, aren't they? It's a little site called Comic Book Daily.
ComicBookDaily.com.
And you submit ideas to an article called Undervalued Spotlight.
That is my article.
That's your thing.
Undervalued
so
Spotlight.
You
I talk about comics that are undervalued.
Okay, so for the listening audience, so
yeah.
say so you'll try to find some gem that maybe
yeah.
isn't really that expensive yet.
Yeah, yes. Or maybe it is expensive, but could be more.
Could
I try to
more,
go cheap. I try
yeah,
to go expensive.
Yeah. So,
but I try to kind of say, hey, this is a comic you should invest in, and the reason it's a good long-term investment is...
Yeah. Because your store has 50 copies for sale.
I never mentioned that.
No.
That's very true.
Yeah, okay.
Listen, so you've reached the number 200 mark. You have 200 posts for the blog.
Yes.
Now, what did you talk about? Like, did you talk about Richie Rich or Archie this week?
No.
I like Richie Rich and Archie.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. Archie is a very popular, by the way, on my undervalued spotlights. Over the years, Archie, there's been a lot of Archies.
Now, we'll get to your spotlight in a second here. Mm-hmm. Is that because that Archie has witnessed a resurgence in popularity recently?
Yeah. Well, one of the main factors, I've talked about this before, I think, on the radio, one of the main factors that drives value and demand for a book is, obviously the main factor is character, right?
It's undervalued spotlight.
Right, undervalued spotlight. Is the character. And so, for example, Deadpool is all the rage.
Right.
Deadpool is hot.
Right.
Deadpool, there are a billion... First appearance of Deadpool.
Yes.
But it's still worth a lot of money because there's 1.1 billion people wanting
it. Yeah, right.
So, but Deadpool is people in their 30s, they remember reading Deadpool.
Right, yes.
The trick to longevity in terms of value is what I coined the generational jump.
Yeah.
So Batman, your granddaddy read it.
Yes.
Your daddy read it. You're reading it and you're passing it on to your son.
Right.
We're all going to enjoy it.
Right.
And I used my undervalued spotlight from last week. I was trying to encourage the resurgence of the Flintstones.
Okay, right. Yes, I remember
very
that.
First
yes, I read
the
that. It was a very good article, yes.
Now, in it I talked about Scooby-Doo's ability to make a generational jump.
Right, but the Flintstones couldn't.
Because
now there's
I don't
things
know
like
why.
Simpsons and
yeah,
things
there's
like
things
that.
That
yeah,
took
yeah,
over
yeah,
the Flintstones,
yeah.
kind of that yeah. family drama and a cartoon thing. Yeah. Whereas Scooby-Doo, I watched it when I was a kid. I loved it. My kids are watching it and they love it.
Yeah.
They're not searching out the Flintstones. Yeah. They're searching out Scooby-Doo.
But you know what's funny is, so Flintstones came out in the 60s.
Yes.
Right?
So did Scooby-Doo about 8 years later.
But I was watching the Flintstones in the early 80s. Right?
Yeah.
So
syndication.
So in syndication.
Yeah.
So, but there's 20 years of mm-hmm. good Flintstones
yes.
run.
Yeah. You and I, it made one generational jump,
yeah.
Flintstones, but it couldn't make two.
No. No, interesting.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's weird.
Right? Yeah. And anyway, this undervalued spotlight, I talk about things like that. I talk about the importance of books looking into the future. Will this character be able to make that generational leap?
So let's cut to the chase here.
Yes.
What did you talk about for your 200th post?
Chris, I picked Brave and the Bold number 200. Kind of a really cheap. I looked for a real bargain.
Okay.
It like so, listed in the guide at $12.
Didn't that
pick
end
it up
at 200?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the very last issue.
All right.
Last issues of series are always collectible.
That's you know what? That's very interesting because you wouldn't think that.
Yes.
But correct me if I'm wrong, and I often am. Is that not because usually by the time there's a last issue coming out for a series,
yeah.
there's such a few, such a low print run
yes.
that nobody cares about
yes.
it anymore. So
yes.
therefore it becomes a popular
yes.
book later on in years.
Yeah. Great examples like Conan number 275.
Right.
The print run was so small before I got canceled. But there's a collecting strain. There's a collecting
yeah.
strain
yeah.
of collectors that have one of their collecting strains is last issues.
Oh, really?
Hold on. Spider-Man 441 is a collected book specifically because it's the last Amazing Spider-Man.
So you're saying that there are people out there who collect nothing but last issues.
I won't
issues.
Say nothing but last
but
issues.
That's one of
they'll
things.
Obviously collect first issues,
yeah.
too. But another part of their collecting strain is they'll hunt down all the last issues.
Really?
Yes.
I actually did not know that.
Very, very
yeah.
popular collecting yeah. strain. And one of the main reasons it's super popular is it's usually not priced as much.
Right.
But it's still as rare as maybe the first ones
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Now I know that the Star Wars comics
107 is the last issue, and it's one of the most expensive ones.
Right. I know. I was going to say I think it's like the last five or six issues
mm-hmm.
are very hard to get
mm-hmm.
because by that time nobody. Yeah, again, this is like 1986 or something like that.
Right.
Nobody was caring about
right.
Star Wars comics at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's probably later than that. But people, all of a sudden the series ended and nobody cared about Star Wars. It was like maybe probably late 80s now that I think about it.
Right.
Before the new movies came out and all that kind of resurgence of Star Wars. There was a time period where it was really actually hard to find Star Wars stuff.
Yes.
And so that was probably one of them, right?
Like yeah. Absolutely. And anyway, it's a fun thing. People love to read it in the sense that they. My favorite part is the comments. I like, yeah. Walt, you're full of crap. You don't know what you're talking about. I get a lot of those.
I'm sure you do.
All right. Listen, thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, you know what? Unfortunately, I do have to bring up some sad news this week. This has been a terrible week for comic legends passing away.
Yes, that's the, I know. I've been reading those too.
First of all, Dick Ayers, who's a famous inker for early Marvels.
He was also a pencil. He did pencils too.
Yeah. He did like Fantastic Four, Sergeant Fury, Ghost Rider. He was one of the very first, the Western version.
I remember
of Ghost
those,
Rider.
The late 60s yeah, Ghost Riders. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's a Will Eisner Hall of Fame inductee.
Yeah,
here's a guy that's been around for forever. He passed away, I believe, just after he turned 90.
Oh,
so he passed away. Al Feldstein passed away. Now, here's a guy. Martin Shecky.
Is he a Feldstein relative of mine?
He is. Oh. He is. Now, have you ever heard of Al Feldstein? Have you ever, in all honesty, have you heard the name?
No.
Okay. You've heard of EC Comics.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you've heard of Mad Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy. So Al Feldstein was the editor-in-chief. He was the driving force behind Mad Magazine since its inception.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he passed away at the age 88. Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting him.
Nice.
I have a print that he drew, and I had it signed. I can't tell you the story of why I bought the print on air. Let me just say that I told him I was going to buy it another time, and he ridiculed me for it. It's too dirty to talk about on air.
Uh-huh.
But I met the guy. It was a great, great guy. Honestly, I had a lot of fun meeting
him. Shamed you into buying it, did he?
In one way or another, yes, he really did. Shamed me into doing it.
You know, the interesting thing behind Al Feldstein, and I don't know. Now, this is what I don't know. Who made the corporate decision to turn Mad Magazine into a magazine, whether it was Gaines whether it was Feldstein and stuff. But the quick story behind Mad Magazine was Mad Magazine, EC Comics. EC Comics went under because of the Comics Code Authority.
Right.
When the government stepped in and says, hey, we got to clean up comics.
Yeah, because for our listening audience, there was a time when comics were actually very
terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. Vulgar, rotten, horror, all
kinds
of stuff.
Crossed. Right now, and then, you know, times it by 10.
Think guys blowing their brains out on the cover.
Yeah. So what happened was Mad Magazine, which was a satirical comic at the time, but right around that time at issue number 24, it circumvented the code by switching to a magazine format.
Yes.
And then the rest is history. Because then it became one of the largest selling magazines
of all time.
Of all time, in a monthly circulation. It was ridiculous.
Huge, especially in the 70s.
It was a rite of passage, Chris. Mad Magazine was cutting edge humor for kind of that hipster crowd. It was just amazing, amazing magazine. How important that was to so many people's lives growing up as teenagers and young men and women.
Oh, it's hugely unbelievable. Popular. Yeah. Hugely popular. And you know what? Al Feldstein. I don't want to get too involved in this, but as a historian, I know that he actually made a percentage of the sales that was in his contract, and he was making more as an editor in chief than the publishers were, than the whole corporation was, because of the way his contract was worked out and everything. He was making a fortune at the time because he was a driving force, and he knew what the audience wanted, and he kept it satirical. He kept it hard-edged, hard-nosed, cutting-edge kind of thing. It was an awesome magazine at the time.
You know what? Mr. Feldstein will be missed. A true giant of the industry.
Absolutely. And finally, Barbara Hull has passed away, and she was an artist for Harvey Comics, and she was 94. She worked
– I read about her before. She – when she broke in, they had to. She couldn't say that she was a woman.
Right. No, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
In the '40s, because yep. girls didn't draw.
That's right. Yeah. No, and I can't remember what name she went by, but she was hired on to draw Black Cat, Girl Commandos, Pat Parker, War Nurse, yeah. And also she befriended all kinds of amazing underground comic artists at the time as well, guys like Robert Crumb and yeah. Trina Robbins yeah. and Kim Deitch. Anyways, she, you know, here's an artist that was going around in 1940 doing comic books.
Yes,
and was doing it up until you know the 60s. Unfortunately, she passed away at the age of 94.
Wow, yeah. wow, so, wow. You know what I mean? Obviously, the passing of time will bring news like this.
That's right.
But yeah, giants
in the industry. You know what? Unfortunately, none of us live forever, right? All right, Shecky, what do we got going on for music?
This show will live forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on that note, a little Krantz in your pants.
Nice. Here we go.
Wrong.
Yeah, that's all right.
That happens a lot with me.
I was not going to say anything about that.
Hey, you know what? I like that version because I can sing to it in the shower.
Yeah, I didn't like that version.
I love the version because you can add the words. Because you can because you can make up words.
But I was expecting the words to come in, and then all of a sudden they didn't. So I was like, oh, maybe I'm off.
No.
It made me feel bad about myself.
No. You just got to pick up and all just right, start right. rhyming. Start right, doing a little rap.
You know what? Speaking of Spider-Man, wait, do we have a what do you call it? Sponsor.
We always do, Chris. Right. Only when you decide to acknowledge it. Yeah.
Well,
industry news part two brought to you by Free Comic Book Day, the day customers come to love, to hate, to conquer, but mostly to get the free lunch.
Nice, that is true. You guys had wieners or something that you guys
always had wieners in honor of Chris Owen.
Wieners? Were they behind the counter?
Small barbecued wieners.
We have wieners.
Yeah. Listen.
Overcooked, like always.
Speaking of wieners, I don't know how this works, but speaking of wieners, Amazing Spider-Man 2 netted $92 million in its opening weekend.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Now, it couldn't match the Captain America, the Winter Soldier's $95 million April debut.
What's $3 million?
Yeah, you know what?
Come on.
Yeah, but from the month over, it means a big deal because that May weekend really kicks off blockbuster season.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, technicality. That's right.
So listen.
But listen.
Oh, you listen.
Here's the thing.
I'll listen.
All right.
I'll listen.
You're
you
right.
Go
you're
ahead.
Right. Because, yeah, you're right. Because doesn't Amazing Spider-Man... I don't know how the licensing works, but I would imagine Captain America just all goes to Disney.
I would think
Whereas Amazing Spider-Man, Sony's got to give some of it back to Disney.
Yes.
Probably like 10% or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I don't know exactly how that works. Right. But,
so it did well, though. It had a good, strong thing. I'm reading that it hit like $370 million worldwide already.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Is that what it is, really? I thought it was...
Yeah. Worldwide total $369 million.
Yeah, right. Okay, right. Yes. Okay. Now, but here's the thing. I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm a busy guy.
Where'd you hear it, Chris? Did you hear it on the grapevine?
I heard through the grapevine. Listen, I heard that it wasn't that great of a movie.
Come on.
Okay, but I heard that it's a great Sunday afternoon popcorn munching.
That's all you want.
All your problems. Okay, but you know what? Captain America was a great movie. It had a great story. Whereas this
what
is
do you
like
want? Citizen Bane. What do you want?
Citizen Bane. That's what
Citizen
I want.
Kane. I meant.
No. I want the Batman version called Citizen Bane.
Citizen Bane. Rosebud.
Batman. Listen, I'm sure it's gonna be good. I haven't. I heard that some of the acting wasn't that great, especially by Paul Giamatti, who was played the Rhino. Apparently, it was one level the whole time. That's just what I hear. I don't. Okay. I, you know, I haven't seen the movie myself yet. I will tell you next week when I actually go see the movie.
Yes.
Listen, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg as compared to all the rest of the Marvel movies that are coming out and all the comic book slash action movies that are coming out. We've got Godzilla coming up, X-Men Days of Future Past is coming up. We've got Guardians of the Galaxy is coming up. There's still lots of great movies coming out for the
rest
of the summer.
Lots.
So you know what? We are okay for comic book
and
movies.
Spider-Man may be a good movie.
And it might be. Now, have you speaking of Godzilla, have you seen the trailers for Godzilla?
Yes, I have.
It looks amazing, doesn't it?
It but looks it's Godzilla. Very interesting. Yeah,
it looks
hey,
like
I gotta do my Godzilla.
Sounds a lot like you're Chewy.
Yeah, Chewy Godzilla. Yeah, it's all good. It looks awesome. It looks like a giant monster movie, but made into like a horror movie.
Right.
My wife has already said she won't go see it.
Scared?
She doesn't like me. We fought.
She's nervous to go with you. I think she's just worried you're going to cop a feel.
It's almost like it's the proper cinematic version of what Cloverfield tried to be.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Listen, all right, let's keep on moving on here.
All right. Keep on keeping on.
We talked about,
got to make the best of
conventions.
Oh,
conventions
Chris,
are hot.
I read this when you emailed it to me. This is amazing.
I emailed that to you?
Yeah, you did.
All right. Well,
I think that came from you.
Probably, sure.
Right. This is amazing. So basically, there's an article by some Robert Salkowitz talking about the comic book, the convention boom, the pop culture convention.
And that's
boom.
Very true, because it seems like now the big thing to do these days is to have a comic book convention.
Yeah, or all kinds of conventions.
Any kind of convention.
So this report talked about basically what they're saying is that conventions, gaming, anime, toy, what the heck else, comics, sci-fi, account for like $600 million in revenue. And when you count everything all told in terms of tourism and travel and food and everything, they're saying it's a $3 billion industry.
That's a lot of money. That's
a
lot
of clams.
You know what? Okay, so I'm looking at this pie chart here.
Mm-hmm.
And,
pie chart.
Everyone wants a piece of the pie, Chris.
That's very true. So this is based on, what is it, attendance here?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it attendance or is this based on
number of events?
Or is this money spent?
No, this is number of events.
Number of events.
So number of events, gaming has 25% and comic has 18%. Now, you explained this to me earlier before the show that this is because gaming events, there's so Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons,
that kind of thing. Stuff,
there are more of those happening every weekend.
Yeah, they can be held, but they're generally speaking right now not mega events.
Right.
So they're held at airport hotels and stuff like that. They're still good events.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Packing in thousands of people, but they're not a Comic-Con, Fan Expo, where they're packing in 100,000.
Right,
people.
Okay. So that's why the numbers are a little bit lower. But, okay, so hold on. And you know what? I'm not trying to make fun, but I thought it was very interesting that their literature event was at 0%.
Yes.
And the LARP, which is the acronym for Live Action Role Play, was also at 0%.
That's when people dress up as elves and knights and start whacking on each other with...
start whacking?
Yeah.
That's where they start whacking each other.
I thought the furries start whacking. That's 1%.
That is 1%. So basically, furries, steampunk, and cosplay, literature, other horror, LARP, they're all whacking each other off.
Exactly.
In the forest somewhere with their swords and all that kind of stuff.
Nice. Yeah. Done. But it goes on to say, the report goes on to say that the average ticket price per these events. The Comic-Con rules.
Right.
On average, the Comic-Con ticket price is 2.75, almost three times the average of all cons, like of all things. To get into – think about getting into the Saturday at the San Diego Comic-Con. What's it cost? 90 flipping bucks
yeah,
or
at
30
least,
or 70 or something?
It's because the media moguls and all of the – the aesthetics, all of the entertainment value that you get for free just for walking around is so much
more
intensified.
That's what the report is saying. The report is saying that at Comic-Cons, they're bringing a lot to the table in terms of celebrity.
Yes.
You get your dollar value just by walking in the the door.
The celebrity.
You gotta pay.
Yeah,
if
but
you're
you can be like me and just steal photos from 100 yards away if you want.
But you still have to pay to get in to steal the photo. Is my point, Marty? Yeah. So my point is,
I totally agree. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Table costs,
you know,
for the vendors have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Ticket costs for the people coming in have skyrocketed.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you think it would have? They would have rebelled, or there could have been some resistance.
Hey, we're not paying that. No.
The year-over-year increase average in the last 5 years has been something stupid like 25% at these events.
Well, you know,
it's just insane how big these things are.
So hold on. So let's dial it back for a second here. So we've got Fan Expo, which is a local show in Toronto.
Yeah.
What's
an international show, by the way.
But it's local for us. That's all I meant.
Sure.
So what's it cost to get into the Saturday? Like $50?
Probably.
So $50 for a day, and there are, what, 40,000 people attending that day?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of money. But that $40, that gives you an amazing amount of entertainment for the day.
I don't even know if it's a lot of money. And the reason I'm going to tell you is this.
Okay.
I don't even know if it's a lot of money. Because when you look at, we're still the whole pop culture scene. We're still a very kind of new, young
scene. I don't know if we are.
We are.
Compared to... Okay, hold on. I'm gonna challenge you on this.
Okay, well...
Okay, hold on. I'm just asking you.
All right.
As far as the pop culture scene, you're saying, what else is there besides comic books that has been around longer?
What I tried to say is this. If you compare that entertainment dollar of a $50 or $40 ticket or whatever it is to go into Saturday at Comic-Con, at Fan Expo, spend 7-8 hours seeing William Shatner from a distance, whatever. Compare it to going to the Theater District in Toronto.
Compare it to
going to a Toronto Maple Leaf game. To compare it to a Raptor game. That's a bargain.
It's peanuts.
Consider,
you know, to get the gray level seat or you know, green level or whatever it is at you know, the Air Canada Centre, you're looking at $170 a ticket.
Oh, my God.
Right?
And double and that for a Leaf game.
And it's like 3 hours worth of entertainment.
Right. Or go to a play.
Yeah.
Three hours worth of entertainment. Go to a movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
like $12 and it's for 2 hours.
If you want to go to the VIP, it's $25
right.
plus popcorn, you're looking at $40.
You go to a con.
Yeah.
And you could go, you know how many panels you can go to? You know how many speeches and talks and this and that?
Yeah.
And, you know, go up to, hey, bring your flipping old comic books and bring that Detective Number 400. Stand in line for 30 minutes. Get Neil Adams' autograph, right?
It's
still a bargain.
It is. You're right.
It's still a bargain.
The only thing that is not a bargain is the lineup to get in.
Yeah.
Because if you're not aware of how long, sometimes it may take an hour or two just to get into the show.
But you see, though, this is the good part about comic book culture and the fan culture around comic book culture. They all know the line is going to get in. The line is sometimes where some of the stuff's happening.
Great point.
You know, the cosplayers are there.
Yeah, they're all sitting down playing cards.
Yeah,
exactly. They know. They're improvising. They're preparing for the line.
Yeah,
right?
they're part of it.
So
right.
it's incredible. It's a great report, and it's really good news. And what the guy said, it's basically he's saying, or this Eventbrite platform for tickets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They did the study, and they're basically saying, you know, it's the tip of the iceberg.
Well, you know,
there's still stuff going on.
I agree. And, you know, there's all kinds of different conventions going on.
And look at all the cons springing up
I know.
Everywhere.
Well, okay, case in point, I thought that Toronto had enough cons already.
Yeah.
And now there's more cons appearing. Hamilton has a convention. Niagara has a convention. Like, there's all kinds of conventions propping up all over the place. And I think it's great. And you know what's really interesting about this? People that I would talk to, I'd say I'm going to a comic convention, and they say, oh, I can't believe you're into that stuff. Now, all of a sudden, those same people are like, oh, how do I get in? Right?
Yeah.
Like they're
yeah.
they're interested now, right?
Yeah.
They want to see
yeah.
it. Yeah. So, great idea. Let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we'll come back, and we got to talk about TCAF.
And you're not going to like this one.
All right.
Yeah!
Ghostbusters!
Guys, all right. it had to round out the Harold Ramis event that I was trying
you
to make.
Promised okay. You promised me. You said two is going to do it for you.
Yeah, before Krantz, but then Krantz broke up the third.
Oh, I see.
Harold Ramis directed Ghostbusters? No, it was Ivan Reitman, wasn't it?
He wrote it, though. He was a co-writer.
Oh, he wrote, okay.
He and Aykroyd, I believe, wrote it.
All right, okay, listen.
All right, we'll give you that geek
all right,
moment
thank
there.
You.
We got to talk about the Toronto Comics Art Festival.
What's that?
It's a comic arts festival in Toronto coming up this weekend.
Oh, right. That's where you go when you read comics, you snap your fingers
reading
them?
So this is where all the beatniks like to go. Yeah. So this is a convention that, you know what? I like it.
Everybody goes to brag about comics that nobody reads.
that is a great way of putting it. TCAF, I love it. I hate it. I went last year. I went for a number of years. I missed a couple of years. Went again last year. Hated it. I left. You know what? It's just all about comics that people don't read and nobody cares about.
Well, like the general population.
Okay. Nobody now, having about. Said that, this is interesting.
Yeah. Like, okay, I went to like a couple of years ago. I've been to before.
Okay.
You know, and you know, like, okay, the guy goes, oh, you know, don't you know who that is? I go, no. Well, that's Ichiro Suzuki. He wrote that big manga that everybody likes.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm going, okay, I didn't know that. I feel inadequate. I feel like I don't know nothing. I feel like a moron when I go to TCAF.
It's a great convention.
I feel like an idiot.
Just when you go to TCAF?
And you shouldn't. You shouldn't, because it's a great convention for the independent comics scene, and it's for international comic scene. It's for all about the non-mainstream comic book people. So if you're hoping to see some guy that draws Batman, forget it. If you're hoping to see some guy that draws Spider-Man, forget it. Marvel, DC, they will not be there. Image will not be there.
Yeah, now, they get old. Go ahead.
Now, having said that, this is interesting because. This year, now all of a sudden, they get a guy like Ed Brubaker, which is a huge part of the Captain America resurgence.
Right.
He's going to be at TCAF. So for many years, a guy like Ed Brubaker was not supposed to be
on,
there.
Hold on. Brubaker, guys like Sean Phillips will be there as well. Ed Brubaker will be there.
Yeah, but
they're coming for the fatales and the criminal and the crime noir stuff that they're writing.
So are you trying to tell me that some guy that loves Captain America isn't going to go there just to get a
He'll get kicked out. I know those guys over there. Go, hey. Anybody with a Captain America t-shirt, is the door.
You know what?
Right.
I like the show. I went last year.
Uh-huh.
I met Bill Amend, who was the creator and artist of Foxtrot, the cartoon strip.
Lynn Johnson will be
there. Lynn Johnson's going to be there this year.
For better or for worse. I never read that one.
No, it's kind of boring.
It's kind
of
family.
You know what's funny is that she did the whole thing, and then she decided to restart it again as people were younger again, so she could redo the whole thing. Well, what's the point?
Yeah.
Anyway, Jeff Smith is going to be there, who is the artist on a creator of Bone. Darwin Cook.
You know what? A couple of names that interest me is this guy, Reinhard Kleist, will be there.
Reinhard Kleist.
I go, Reinhard, can you draw me Arnold?
I want you to draw me Arnold. Apparently, Reinhard studied graphic design at Munster University.
Yeah.
Maybe he can draw me some Munsters.
And then. Renaud Delisle.
I don't know who that is.
Can you draw me Asterix?
Okay, but here's the thing. So here's a guy.
See what I mean? That's how an idiot I am. I'll just show up and I'll go, look at this moron. He's
French. Can you draw me Asterix?
Can you draw me Asterix?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like some Spanish guy there. It's a famous. Okay. Like, was he a golfer? He's not a golfer, you idiot.
Here's my problem with the show.
What?
Okay. So TCAF tries to say that, hey, we're so independent, we're so cool,
we're so avant-garde.
Yeah. And then they get Darwin Cook, who was like a DC Catwoman, Batman artist.
Pretty boy.
You know, pretty boy.
Yeah.
Ed Brubaker, Captain America, pretty boy.
Pretty boy.
Sean Phillips, who does all kinds of TCAF stuff. Basically, TCAF is going straight.
They're going mass market.
They're selling out. They're selling out. They're selling out.
If they say it ain't so.
If they want to have true comic book artists that aren't mainstream.
Then I want Ichiro Suzuki in that corner. Matsushita, somebody else over in the other corner.
And some sort of Serbian
guy.
Juan Felipe,
and then Bojan Redzic over in the other corner.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, right. I understand what you're saying. You know, I want to walk through that hall and not know anybody.
Exactly.
Hey, who the hell are you?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Oh, you look like you draw something good. Listen, yeah. We're running out of time here. We're past our time, actually.
Are we?
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today.
Okay. Comic Culture, produced by Marty Berthelmer, a.k.a. Shecky Feldstein. For comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Read my Undervalued Spotlights. And then click on the podcast link for Comic Culture and leave your comments at the comments field. Check us out at getthepointradio.com. And don't forget, we are on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio.
And remember to go out and support your local comic book retailers. Check out Spider-Man 2. Check out TCAF this weekend if you're in the Toronto area. And please have yourself a wonderful day.
We'll see y'all next week.